Joining us now, he is the beat writer for the Milwaukee Bucks for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Ozarski. The aforementioned Jim Ozarski joins us now. How are we doing, Jim?
I'm good, Sparky. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good. My question to lead off the show today was, are you seeing signs of hope? And if so, what are they? I didn't have anybody actually see anything, and I'm struggling to see signs of hope. Obviously, Giannis is a beast. Him and Lillard are contributing 58% of the offense, which I think is an awfully big number to do all season long without any help. What do you see that gives you reasons for hope and optimism?
Yeah, well, I'll start there. You know, the big two, clearly, look, there's still kinks to be worked out. We saw a little two-man action that kind of bogged down yesterday afternoon against the Celtics. But for the most part, those two are in such better place compared to a year ago. Obviously, Damian Lillard, he's a shooter. He's going to have shooting nights like we've seen in Memphis and Boston, but clearly in better shape, clearly looks like, you know, a borderline All-NBA guard again at this point, as he said he would. And then, look, Sparky, if the season started a little better with meaning beating Brooklyn and Chicago like everyone thought, like they thought, and we were sitting here talking about two close losses to the Celtics with the defense they played on Jason Tatum and holding the Celtics under around 40% shooting, the losses to Cleveland, the way they played, and you were to say Chris Middleton didn't play in all those games, Giannis missed one of them, and has been compromised, I would say, since he strained that adductor, you'd feel okay because they'd be 4-5.
Yep.
Right? Three, right? And so you see elements of the defensive effort, and this includes Dame. Again, Gary Trent Jr.'s missed. So finally there, Spark, to get to the next point, I can't see Trent, Lopez, Portis, Connaughton, regardless of the minutes, maintaining this level of shooting slumps. I mean, it's insane, Sparky. Outside of those Dame and Giannis, no one can make a basket. And it's sort of, other than AJ Green, I guess, it's sort of mind-boggling. And you have to think the math, their career percentages will come back at some point. So if you're looking for hope as a Bucks fan, I think that those are the places to start.
I'm going to tell you something that's frustrated me since Bud was here. And I understand when Bud was here, it was everybody fires threes. We're going to win and die by the three, and that's what he was. Okay, fine. Then Adrian Griffin comes in for his cup of coffee, and then we go to Doc Rivers. And I don't remember which game it was. I'm sorry, they're all blur, all three of them. But there was one play where the ball literally got to Brook Lopez, little baby hook in front of the rim. Marcus Johnson goes, look, hey, it's the Nets, Brook Lopez, with a shot there. And it's something that I don't understand. If you don't have guys that are consistently hitting shots, and you know you've got one of the better low-post guys in the NBA on your roster, who you've ignored for how many years, trying to get him just to shoot threes, in Brook Lopez, why wouldn't you go to Brook Lopez and let him work and get easy baskets? And again, when Giannis is on the floor, it makes it a little bit more difficult for spacing. I understand it. But when Giannis isn't on the floor and Bobby is the four, or Torian Prince is the four, it makes all the sense in the world to make life a lot easier and not have to rely on guys shooting from 15 or further out.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, Sparky, because the league is such a three-point dominated league. And, you know, to run two or three, let's just say you're going to start a game or, start a second half, we're going to run 2-3 post plays for Brook Lopez, like old school post plays. It's a slower pace. It's a dump in, and it's a little bit of work. And then let's say he misses one because it's contested. He makes two, and the other team makes 3-3s. Now, suddenly, you slowed everything down on your end. He now has a 5-point advantage. And that's just the hard part, Sparky, of just the where the game is now.
But I can counter and say, what happens if we miss our 3-3s? Then what's the advantage, right? I mean, I can go on the other side of that and go, well, what if we don't make our 3s on the other side?
It's fair. I think there are times and places. Like, it didn't really happen yesterday, but that first Celtics game, they definitely went to Brook when Jaylen Brown was on him or Drew Holiday was on him. And And Bud would do that at times. I mean, how many times have we written the Brooklyn Brook kind of game where he had 18 points and four of them were around the rim? I get it. And I think this team right now, though, Sparky, is struggling so much with slow offense and stickiness. And what I mean by that, let's be real, Giannis and Dame are getting the ball and it's not moving at times. I think to add in an element of let's slow it down even further, because think about it, here's the other thing. Brook Lopez is right now the best defender on the team.
Yep.
And so that's the other trade-off. If you dump it into him and he's working hard at the bucket, let's say he misses or he makes quick inbound over the top, and now we're back into the transition defense problem because Brook is all the way over here. So I get it. I think it can be used in spots. The way the game is played now, Sparky, I don't think it's something they can really rely on, especially, you know, the way things are going.
Well, I don't think you can rely on your three-point shooting. That's for certain. Right. We've seen that already. So there has to be a plan B of some sort here from Doc when you can't get shots. Now, the other part of this was they built this roster, Jim Ozarski, around veterans, right? And again, yeah, they probably got a little bit younger with Gary Trent Jr. and so forth. I get it. These young guys that were at the end of the bench were supposed to be just a few minutes here, a few minutes there to give our older guys breaks in different games throughout the regular season. But the core of this is going to be all of our veteran players. Well, when none of them are making shots, I mean, Gary Trent Jr. got hurt. I get it. But before then, he wasn't providing any offense whatsoever. Torian Prince has had a couple of games where he gave you some offense, and that's fine. But for the most part, you're just not getting enough. So now it's, okay, Andre Jackson, you're going to go in there and you're going to help us defensively. Cool. So he goes in there. He plays well in the first game. Everybody's excited. And then he comes back. And at the second half of the very next game, he doesn't even come on to start the second half. They go to AJ Green right away. Like, if either you're in or you're not on this concept. Like, if you're in and you want him to be that guy, then be in and give him 12, 15 games to let him go be that guy before you bail in the second game of it.
Well, Doc, very specifically about that, said Andre was told because he was hurting them offensively. It was 4-on-5 on offense. He said some of those Celtics defenders just went to the other side of the court.
Yep.
And look, when you're in a tight game against the Boston Celtics, AJ Green makes sense because that's really, and you're 2-7. The growing pains of Andre offensively in that moment, like if the record was reversed, maybe he's in there and they just let him play through it and they're telling him where to go and what to do. So some of that might just spend time in game. But look, the Lillard trade meant this team went in on offense. Okay. And so, to your point, when no one can make anything, and then Andre's in for some defense, but he is such a forgotten person on offense, you can't play 5-on-4, right? Especially a team against like the Celtics. So in that instance, I think, you know, Doc was looking for something. AJ Green hit some threes, right, and helped give the Bucks a chance to win. But to your broader point, though, Sparky, of the veterans, look, I have a story at jazzonline.com about DeLon Wright being benched. Right. Frankly, not playing good enough. So Ryan Rollins is getting some run. Ryan Rollins has attempted like two shots. So
I don't know what he brings. Part. I have no idea. Hustle guy. That's it.
Yeah. And some defense and some athleticism. But again, when everyone's struggling to make baskets, though, AJ Green knows what he's doing in terms of offensively. Right. I think Rollins and Jackson need to figure that out. And that's the hard part. Look, Bucks fans have been screaming for the quote-unquote young guys, Sparky. Well, that's the problem with young guys is they need to figure it out. And currently at 2-7, 2-8, it just looks really difficult, right? Especially when everybody else isn't making anything either.
So what's the bright spot again? What's our hope? What exactly are we supposed to grasp onto? I talked to Jim Ozarski at Wisconsin Sports Daily today, served up by Wendy's, and Jim said, this is what we're holding on hope for. This are the positive signs. This is what Jim told me to tell you. I want to be able to say it for the rest of the week at least.
Look, I understand the frustration with how long it takes Chris Middleton to get back from injuries in general double ankle surgery is not a small thing.
Jim, with all due respect, this is on Doc Rivers and John Horst, who early in the media day and everything else, he's practicing on the court. He's out there right now. He's good. And now here we are, how many weeks in, and still nothing. Like, they led us down the path of thinking he was ready to go, and he never was.
I mean, there probably could have been some better public positioning at the outset, but I think Doc really thought he'd be ready to go by those preseason games. I think that's why he said it. And of course, since then they've rejected all semblance of a timeline. But Sparky, this is an offensive based team. And what have we heard about this group, right? It's we can't sustain it. We play well, we can't sustain, Well, look, Chris Middleton is 30 minutes a game that aren't there. Gary Trent Jr., while he's struggling, is still a starter. Let's call it 25 minutes. So there's 55 minutes that are missing from this team right now of good players. You know, Sparky, you know this. The Celtics go on that 14-1 run yesterday. If Chris Middleton's in the game, the Bucks can get a bucket.
Yep.
Like, Chris is going to get the 16, the 18-footer, the three-pointer, right? And of course they're not sustaining, because Taurean Prince isn't here to play 30 minutes. And Pat Connaughton is only playing, I think, like 16, which if Chris is in, he's probably down to 12. Maybe looks a little better, right? And so it stinks to say that because they're not winning, but it makes sense that they're missing two starters. And then you hear, well, we can't sustain this level of play. Well, of course, because when you're relying on your 8th, 9th, and 10th men to play 7, 8, 9 minutes against these teams, it's just not going to go well. It doesn't matter who you are.
Talk Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat writer from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Ozarski. This fan base used to love Bobby Portis, and now they hate Bobby Portis. It's truly amazing to me how quickly this has changed in the last 2 years. And I don't think it has anything necessarily to do with the offense, other than they say he can be a black hole at times. But more or less, it has to do with him defensively, and they want to trade him, and they want to be able to do something. And there's rumors out there that the Bucks are shopping to make a trade, too. But again, when you're at the second tax apron, there's not much you're going to do to make that type of improvement, even if you trade Bobby Portis.
Right. So two things there. Bobby, I think Bobby's a victim of the fact he's been here so long, right? Same thing with Pat, Brooke, Chris, etc. And yeah, his plus as an NBA player is his offense. He's going through it right now offensively, and it only highlights the defensive issues that he has. Now, to your point, Sparky, of trading, look, I'll just relay this story. I was covering the NFL. I had a GM tell me once. He's like, what do you think I do all day? Like, literally, I call everyone, and everyone calls me. Like, you could quote-unquote report that everyone on every roster has been talked about, because they have, right? So I'm sure John Horst has made calls or received calls. Now, just quickly here for fans, as quickly as I can say this. So, DeLon Wright, Gary Trent, Taurean Prince cannot be dealt until after mid-December. There's a six-month rule after contracts. So, those guys, they're on the team for another month plus. You mentioned the apron. Yes, it is true that Bucks cannot aggregate salaries, with one caveat, Sparky. If they were to, say, trade Bobby and Pat Connaughton, that means they would have to then go under the apron, which means they would have to trade two players for one player making like $7 million less than the two of them. I'm not going to get into all the math, but it's very hard to find really quality players at around $13 million. It's just Bobby makes $13 million. You know what I mean? So there is a way to aggregate, but it would hard cap. Then, you know, they're kind of restricted with some other stuff, and, you know, they'd want to sign a 15th guy and get even lower. So they're technically, Sparky, they can make a move or moves, but it is so much harder.
So hold on. So let me ask you this. So is this about making a move to get under the second apron, or is this a move about trying to win a championship?
No. No. If the Milwaukee Bucks trade anybody for anyone, it is to win a championship.
Okay, just making sure.
There are no, when I sat and talked with Wes Edens before the season, on the record for the Journal Sentinel, I mean, they came in knowing this was the price. And Jimmy Haslam came in knowing this was the price. When they re-signed Brooke and Chris to those deals, which were two, that's a 2-year window, last year, this year, they'll be under the apron next year just because of the free agents and things that move. The cap's going to go up by 10% with the media rights, Sparky. So, yeah, there are no financial dictations here. If they trade anyone, it's strictly to try to improve the roster for this season.
He is Jim Ozarski, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Bucks beat writer. I appreciate him coming on and let me yell and be frustrated at him. I do. I appreciate it so much. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Ozarski. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk down the line.
All right. Speak soon.